Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Monday, April 8th. I'm Stephen Overly. Congress is back in session this week. You can expect chatter about banning TikTok. We're still waiting on the Senate's big AI report. One issue with some momentum behind it, keyword some, because let's be real, no tech policies are moving particularly quickly, is kids' online safety. A few states have passed laws restricting how minors use social media, and Congress is now debating a national law of its own. That's gotten the attention of a company called Roblox. Now, if you haven't heard of Roblox, your kids certainly have. It's a platform where people can create and play games, and 45% of its users are under 13 years old, and most of its users are under 17 years old. So the company's CEO, David Baszucki, is making his first trip to Washington to press lawmakers on the issue. And I sat down with the company's public policy chief, Nikki Jackson Colasso, just ahead of that visit, to hear the pitch they're making to lawmakers, starting with a definition of what this company even is. Here's our conversation. Well, Nikki, welcome to Politico Tech.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here, and it's nice to meet you.
Of course. Nice to meet you as well. You know, I've seen Roblox kind of describe itself in Washington. I often hear a lot about what the company is not, right? It's not exactly a gaming studio. It's not a social media platform. How do you define Roblox when you're talking to policymakers?
Yeah, this is an amazing question because it is kind of category defining. It can be different than how some people think of it. So at its core, Roblox is a virtual creative platform. You can design and create and use your imagination to create virtual experiences, some of which are games. So, of course, we have a ton of games on our platform, but we also have concerts. We have recreations of museums across the world. You could come to Roblox and take a yoga class or travel to the Louvre with your third grade classroom and experience that in a virtual setting. So the way I kind of ask people to orient themselves to it is, you know, if you think about what YouTube is for video, Roblox is for these immersive or virtual experiences. So it's a platform just like that. But instead of video, you have experiences.
And so Roblox CEO is going to be in Washington, you know, for the first time meeting with lawmakers. You'll be joining him here. Why make this visit now?
I think there are two key reasons why it's really important now. All of us, you know, you, we, people in DC, I think parents and others across the country are very aware of the intensity of the conversation around tech and safety.
Right.
And I think parents really want to make sure their kids are safe and that they're set up for success. I think policymakers really want, in many ways, changes from where we were 5, 10, 15 years ago. They're looking for companies to do things differently. And I think tech companies rely on certain regulations to operate. And so you're having all of these conversations and they're coming together in kind of an intense way. This will be our CEO's first visit there. Because I think given the tenor of the conversation, he said, listen, I need to be there and I really want to have this conversation. And I think the second reason is because to your earlier point, Roblox is a little bit different than other platforms. So when you think a lot of traditional social media companies, they tend to start at 13 and try to keep younger kids off or maybe later retrofit their platforms so they can create safety after the fact. And Roblox has always been different. We have always welcomed children onto the platform, in part because it is so closely associated with education, creativity, learning. So we have always had to bake safety into our product from day one. So rather than retrofitting, we almost have the opposite challenge where you have people that have historically been using our platform at young ages, and now they're growing up, and they might need different experiences at 18 or 24 than they did when they were 7. And so I think the second part of what we'd like to do is really have what I hope is a collaborative conversation with policymakers about what our experiences are in terms of building safety in for young people as they grow.
I mean, that seems in some ways like a tough conversation to have, where you have all these lawmakers right now saying the internet is an unsafe place for young people. We need to put more regulation on it. And you sort of come in and say, actually, you know, we have even younger people on our platforms than these other ones, and we think they can be safe for that audience. What's the message to lawmakers when you sit with them and make that case?
I think a really key thing to understand is that absolutely everybody, I think for the most part, I really believe this, is coming at this. And certainly me, you know, I'm a mom. I have two Roblox aged boys. Coming at this wanting the best for their kids. I don't think anybody, you know, wants unsafe outcomes. And so I think when we sit down at the table, everybody wants the same things, but I think there is sometimes daylight in between how we get there. What I think we'd like to communicate as a company is that we are actually really open to doing things differently, in part because of the way our platform works. We are different. And in part because we just feel like the world has changed from where it was in the 2000s and even 5 years ago. I don't think many in our company believe that what's been happening is sustainable with regard to regulation. That's one of the reasons, you know, Roblox was one of the only companies in California that came out to support a regulation called the Age Appropriate Design Code. We just backed a piece of regulation this week around AI and minors. And I think what we'd really like to say is we think that there is room for collaboration here. We often hear tech companies say that. I think Roblox really wants to do that.
So when you say you're open to doing things differently, does that mean you're open to more regulation? You're kind of open to more government oversight? That's sort of what I hear. I wonder if that's what you mean, though.
I think that what we would really like to do is have the conversations and say, listen, this is what we think can actually work. This is what we think can work and that can meaningfully keep kids safe. And it's not on our terms. So, for example, the piece of legislation that we backed in California was something that Roblox was one of the only companies to come out and support. It's tough. But the core of that piece of legislation was putting the best interests of children in mind. And we said, listen, we think this is where we need to be. There are other pieces of regulation where we think, you know, full-scale overhaul or upending it is probably not in the best interest of the industry. But I think if you are willing to back the right outcomes and really show that you are in the right place on legitimately wanting to support regulation that you think is sensible, it makes it a lot easier to collaborate, to have these conversations, and to have more integrity as a company. I think you can have the harder conversations if you are willing to put your money where your mouth is.
You know, the Kids Online Safety Act, which known for short as COSA, is perhaps the legislation in D.C. that's gotten the most support among lawmakers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a bill that Roblox is supporting?
It's one, you know, just now when I said, I think we all come at this from the same place. So in terms of the intended consequences of COSA, and when you look at Senator Blumenthal, Senator Blackburn, the people that are supporting COSA, these are people that have dedicated a vast majority of their public service careers, especially in the last decade or more, to keeping children safe. These are people who want the same things that we do. I think when you dig into the details of COSA, the challenge for companies like Roblox is in some of the language that we feel is still pretty broad. And in being that broad could actually cause us to take down more content than we might otherwise like to, and that would stifle the creativity and the educational resources that we're trying to promote. So it's not that we don't agree with the focus of COPPA, but some of the language we feel like is still broad enough that it actually, the unintended consequences, particularly for a company like Roblox, which is in the learning, education, creativity space, we really want to make sure that those unintended consequences don't also impact kids.
Can you give me an example of what those unintended consequences playing out on a platform like Roblox? I've heard this argument before, and the question I always have is, like, what does that actually mean? Like, what kind of content might get taken down because you're not sure it would be in compliance and better to be safe than sorry or what have you?
Yeah, so there's, you know, very broadly, there's some language in the bill, again, that sounds reasonable, that companies have a duty of care to mitigate harms, like addictive behaviors, harms, things that we all would say, like, yeah, these are bad for young people. The question is, what you may think is harmful for somebody, I may think is them expressing their creativity, right? So if somebody's designing an experience on Roblox, you know, what they express, they think is artistic, but it involves, you know, it's not highly violent, but maybe a little bit more violent. As the company, you're thinking, is this part of our duty of care or is it not? Do we need to take this down or do we not need to take this down? And in the absence of clarity, companies might be forced to say, you know what? We really need to abide by the spirit of the regulation. We're going to take this down. And so there could be an impact on speech over time in situations where companies aren't sure what qualifies as harm. I believe that the intended consequences are to really prevent that kind of addictive features, you know, things that have come up time and again on social media platforms. But, you know, Roblox isn't a traditional social media platform. And, you know, we also worry about the breadth of that language and what some of the unintended consequences could be.
We'll be right back. Recently in Florida, they took a more restrictive social media laws. I'm sure you saw, you know, basically preventing children under 14 from having social media accounts, requiring parental consent for ages 14 and 15. I guess two-part question. One, do you have a sense, does that law cover Roblox? Would you be swept up into that? And Two, do you think that is the right approach, kind of setting these age restrictions as a way to protect kids online?
Jill, obviously we're following what's happening in Florida very closely, and we're still determining whether it's applicable to us. In terms of whether we think the age restrictions are useful, again, we are a platform that, you know, we have always baked safety in from the beginning, which is why five-year-olds or seven-year-olds can be fairly safe on our platform. So for example, if I'm 7 years old and I'm chatting with somebody on the platform and I try to share my birth date or my home address, we realize that children that age don't have the skills to understand whether that's safe to share or not in most cases.
Right.
So we actually, what's called, hash that data out. We don't even allow them to share it. They could type it in and it doesn't even appear to the other person. So we have these kind of safety controls that are baked in. Now, we think that means that the platform is actually great for them to use in terms of expressing creativity and learning to code and all of this different stuff. In that world, having an age restriction is probably less relevant for us. I also think that the way that you determine age through age assurance or what's called verifiable parental consent is not a silver bullet. You know, we don't have a national ID in this country. So the question is, how do you actually know how old a child is? Are you using their biometric data? Are you scanning their face or asking them for more data? Where is that data stored? And so there are real challenges, I think, around verified parental consent. And that's not specific to Florida. That's just been the case for a long time when we talk about age restrictions to platforms.
And, you know, I've been a tech reporter for a long time. And so anytime we talk about tech regulation, one question my mind almost immediately goes to is enforcement. Like, how do you enforce these laws? How do you actually hold platforms accountable? Which naturally brings up the issue of Section 230, which, you know, for non-tech nerds listening is, you know, essentially law that absolves online platforms of legal liability for user content. I know Roblox is a big proponent of Section 230. What is your case for keeping that law, keeping those protections in place?
Yeah. So
Section 230 at its core, I think you did a great job summarizing, but it says if you're a massive platform and you have user-generated content, right? So you're not controlling everything that's posted on your platform. There could be millions and millions of different pieces of content. It says that you will need to moderate that. You can't absolve yourself of all responsibility, but it's very difficult to understand where people are posting something all over the world at all times. And so, you know, you're not liable for everything that everybody is saying on your platform at all times. And so we think in terms of platforms being able to operate, if we didn't have that kind of protection, we would be in a place where we would have to take down a lot more content. With that said, Section 230, it's an older piece of legislation. It's still highly relevant. But I think that what we're seeing is, for good reason, policymakers on both sides of the aisle are saying, has this become dated in certain ways? Is there now too much protection? Are companies, social media companies, getting too much protection? And are they enforcing their policies? Are they moderating in a way that is responsible? And I think that if you're a tech company, you should be ready to answer those questions. And I think those are valid questions from policymakers. I think that what we would like to see as a company is say, listen, let's address those questions head on. It may be the case that we don't need to overhaul all of Section 230 and replace the entire standard for platform liability, but we can look at what are the actual concerns. Do we need more oversight when it comes to child harms? Do we need more help for law enforcement to track down and investigate cases? Do we need better tools? Like, what role does AI play in moderation? So I think that tech companies have a responsibility, even if they support Section 230, to be a part of this conversation, acknowledge the anxiety that people feel about it, and collaborate to try and come up with solutions. And I think that's part of the conversation that we'd like to have in DC.
Well, I know you're in Washington to have these meetings. I wonder, by the time you leave, what does success or what does failure look like from this visit?
Success for me is people understanding who we are. Your first question, like, what is Roblox? Who are they? What are they? And people having a better sense of, okay, we understand what this platform is if they don't yet know about it. And understanding that if they are considering legislation or working on language, that we'd like to be a thoughtful, you know, partner sometimes is too strong of a word, you know, but more of a resource. If you'd like to chat through what are our experiences having done this for 18 years, how has this worked on our platform? If you're proposing moderation solutions, we're happy to share how things have worked out for us. So I think we would like people to understand that we want to collaborate, we want to be a good partner, and that we don't believe that the systems of regulation that I think were so intrinsic to the early 2000s are the way of the future.
It's funny, covering tech, I think most tech companies I talk to would love to run from Washington right now. They're not exactly thrilled when they're called upon Washington. So it's interesting to see you all kind of proactively making yourselves known and putting yourselves in front of folks.
Well, ask me in a week, Stephen. We'll see if I'm still in the same boat.
Well, Nikki, appreciate you making time to talk with us on Politico Tech.
So nice to talk with you, and thanks for your time.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. I'll see you back here tomorrow.